bet that. No.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Canine Connection podcast. I'm in an Airbnb in Connecticut, stuck because there's a blizzard.
So I was up here
doing a two-day stop, it says, seminar at Lori's place, and they started calling for a blizzard, and I'm like, yeah, we'll see, and here we are.
Patriots stuck.
So we decided, let's do the podcast since we're both stuck inside.
Yeah.
And then I had just said to her, like, I don't do a lot of live seminars, people. So FYI, don't start emailing me. I did it because Lori's place is not that far from my house. And anyway, but yeah. I was just telling her that, you know, it was a lot of people that are new to the sport, like a lot of novice people, not all, but holy Hannah, what a motivated group. Like everything we talked about, and then they would come up to work and they're immediately implementing it. Like they tried so hard, which always like is so exciting to me just to see that they're, you know, willing to try different things, new things. And just putting in an enormous amount of effort. So kudos to everybody there and to people that hung in. Like Sunday, we started early, 7 instead of 9, which I'm sure everybody was like, oh, my God. But we were trying to get in as much as we could before people had to leave for the storm.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The group was fantastic. Everybody was like super motivated and really, 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 like, I don't know. They're just so open. They were just so open to trying new things. What was really nice is they all came to the table with things that they knew, like they recognized they needed help with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times you ask a lot of people who don't really just are starting out and, you know, what do you want to work on? And they just kind of don't know. And majority of them were my students or people I've seen before, but they all came with a purpose of learning as much as they could from Petra. And then when they had opportunity to kind of isolate things that they were having issues with, they like brought it right to the table, which was really great, you know? So I feel like it was super productive. It was such a productive weekend. So fun.
Yeah, I think the key is people need to come with an open mind, and then they need to be willing to try it, and then they need to be willing to kind of like understand that implementing something is going to take, for it to really work, is going to take time and consistency, right? Like you're not going to master it. Like a lot of times I find people come with a problem and they want a quick and easy answer, like a miracle fix, right? And once we've been training for a while, we know that doesn't really exist, you know? So I think that everybody here came, like I could tell, they understood that this is going to be a process, that this is going to take time and effort, but they need to start now and they need to do it. And I felt like every time they got up, instead of rushing into the work area, they did what they were supposed to do, which is make sure their dog is focused, make sure their dog is ready, make sure they stay connected, and so on. Yeah. And that was really impressive, right? And that makes me excited because then I know these they're going to do well in the long run because they understand the process, you know? And that's what's hard in most sports is, like, I think people – you know, everybody wants their dog to do the cool and sexy thing, but, you know, things like engagement don't happen overnight.
Right. And that's, you know, I mean, that's the most important thing. You know, that's what you need to get to sexy and cool and fast. And
yeah. So something that came up there and that we've talked about, like that we've said we need to talk about moving forward, is life skills. I think life skills, and also understanding who your dog is, mm-hmm. right? Like, what's their personality like? What do they like? All these things that yeah. really stem from home life, pet mm-hmm. dog life, right? Like, who these dogs are in life is who they are in training. So if my dog in life is pushy and demanding and obnoxious and always trying to push the boundaries and a little independent, that's okay. That's who this dog is. That's also who this dog is going to be in training.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to address those things in life and address them consistently in order for them, for me to be able to train this dog, right? Like, if my life skills are not in place. So one example is I have a leave it cue on my dogs because they're labs. They'll eat anything and everything. If I drop a glass in my kitchen, they come running in and their first thing will be like, can I eat this? Or if I drop pills or anything like that. So I teach them a really strong leave it. So if I dropped food right now and I yelled, leave it, none of my dogs would touch it, right? Which means that if I'm training my dog and a cookie drops or there's some enticing smell on the ground, if I say leave it, my dog will immediately leave it. And now I can train my dog.
Right.
But if I don't have a strong leave it in life, then my dog's going to smell something. And that's super reinforcing for dogs. My dog's going to blow me off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the same goes for, you know, all the things that are, all the things like I consider life skills that are like detrimentally important are things that are safety issues, mm-hmm. you know, like that, like the recall, that's like the big one too, is, you know, when I say come, you need to fucking come, like no matter what. And that gets addressed, like that stuff needs to get addressed in your pet life. You know what I mean? Like, so things that recalls or leave it, it's like people who don't have those things solidly down in their training with their dogs, like when they come, you know, to do lessons or training, competition, obedience stuff, that stuff needs to get ironed out in your pet life, right? Like, so if you see holes like that in competition obedience stuff, like you have to go examine what's going on in your pet life, because that's where it needs to get ironed out. Like, that's where it needs to be solidly trained, right? Because yeah. you don't want to be, you know, if you don't have like a with me, you know, that's just the other thing. Like when we move, you need to move with me when I tell you to, right? You don't want to start correcting and getting after your dog in like your competition obedience stuff, because you don't want to poison that stuff. You need to get all that ironed out and trained in your pet life first and foremost, because you need it in, because it does, it bleeds into your competition stuff. But on the other hand, like we hike our dogs all the time and we travel all the time. We're getting dogs out of parking lots. We're at hotels. We're near roads. We're blah, blah, blah. God forbid you break down on the road, right? And you got to freaking get your dogs out of the car or whatever. Like, you need those skills for sure. It's like an insurance policy. My dog's safety is like a priority.
Yeah. So I think, our definition of a with me is, it's basically like an off leash stay with me, right? Mm-hmm. So if I say for life skills, people should be able to, I'll ask students, like, if your dog is off leash, can you get your dog from the car into the building 100% guaranteed safely? And if they say no, then that's a problem, because your dog is going to be, no matter what sport you do, your dog's going to be off leash
mm-hmm.
and your dog can't leave you. Right. Mm-hmm. So if a dog leaves somebody in training, then that's a hole in their pet skill. Like, my dog should never leave me unless I say go. Like mm-hmm. if I'm off leash hiking and I say go run, they run. But if I call them, they come back. And if I say with me, my dogs, all three of my dogs, will walk next to me in the woods so mm-hmm. I can walk past somebody or whatever until I say, okay, and then they can run. And it's the same thing in training. And why does that matter? Because if your dog could be the friendliest dog on the planet, but if your dog runs out of the ring and runs up to one of, depending on which dog I have, runs up to Zesty's face, guess what? We're going to have a huge problem. Right. Because Zesty is not going to take kindly to that. And he's going to be in the right because your dog should not be running up to my dog's face. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's a big problem that needs to be addressed in pet dog training. The recall, like you said, if something were to happen and you call your dog, your dog should come immediately. So I see people training their dog, toss a cookie or toss a toy, and then the dog's running around with it. And they're like, come here, here, come, come. And the dog's not coming. It's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a huge problem. And if your dog learns that your cues are optional, like if your dog's like, yeah, maybe I'll come, maybe I won't, why would your dog follow your competition cues, right? Like if I run agility and my dog's like, we, and decides to go run around or visit people, that's a with me issue.
Yeah.
That's a pet dog issue. That means your dog does not understand that it can't just leave and do what it wants. So people try to address it then as a competition thing. Oh, my dog's this, that, or the other thing. No, no, no. It's a pet dog issue.
Right.
Your dog does not know that it can't go run off.
Yeah.
You didn't teach it that.
Right. And, you know, these things are taught when I get puppies, like these things are implemented immediately, you know, because the puppies are with me on hikes. Like immediately they're going everywhere with me. They're going to dog shows. We're hiking. We're going here. We're going there. We're going to training facilities. Like, so they're with me. So they need that stuff put in immediately. And like when we teach this stuff, you know, I'm always assessing it all the time with my dogs. Like we always talk about, we're always watching our dogs, like in the house, we're watching them. We evaluate them. We watch how they're moving. We watch how they're acting. Same thing when I'm out and about, and I am assessing pet life skills because, you know, like if I go to load my dogs up in the car, we have a detached garage. So our park, like our driveway's out by the road, right? So when I go to load my dogs up, they're on a with me, and I open the car doors and I'm telling them to come, let's load up. And, you know, the road is right there, right? So I have to be really careful. And I will, like, if I say, come with me, load up, and someone's over by the garbage can sniffing, like, I will not hesitate and address it right then and there, because they're like, that's the, that, you know, it's going to be maintenance too, right? Like it's stuff gets weak. Forever. So yeah. I'm on it all the time. And there, you know, there's a consequence, obviously. I don't beat my dogs, but, you know, that's to me a non-negotiable skill for sure.
Yeah, because life skills are, like you said, safety issues. I mean, you know, everyone thinks, oh, that's not going to happen to me. But was it last year, the year before, I had a really bad accident. And my dogs had to get out of the car. I couldn't even reach their leashes. Like, I didn't even, you know, I had to come out of the truck and sit there while I tried to get, you know, leashes for them. And then they had to calmly walk with me into this, like, car repair place. They were kind enough to put me in the room. So they had to, like, be in a room and be well-behaved. You know, then I was carrying stuff. So they were on leashes, but I didn't even have the leashes in my hand. They were on a with me.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the times when you're like, this really matters.
Yeah.
And it's really important. Like if I had dogs that needed to be held and they were like crazy on the leash and they didn't all this stuff, it would have been an absolute
or dogs that would have run off and wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
Like
it would have been terrible. And you know, going in the hotel and this, that, and the other thing. So that's all really, really important. But I think what happens is people have their dogs on leashes and they don't have these skills and they're like, it's okay because, you know, I can manage them in my everyday life. And then they go into competition training in whatever sport, and then they're having all these problems and they're handling these problems as if they were competition problems, and they don't get resolved because they're not competition. They're really, they're not just pet dog problems. They're also relationship problems, right? It's like a kid. If I let my kid be an absolute hooligan heathen, no rules in the house, you really think they're going to listen in a restaurant?
You're right.
No, they're not. They're going to act the same. They're not. And you're going to say, cut that out. And they're not going to listen because they're going to be like, why would I? There's never any consequences. So why would I listen?
Yeah. And that's a thing like I see a lot with people, you know, who come to me, and the biggest one is like when I go to, all right, let's, I'll say like, all right, we need to talk. So put your dog on a downstay. And that like is usually like a totally, it is. I can tell in 5 seconds, like you need major life skill work because they're standing there. They can't even fucking listen to me because they're managing the dog. The dog goes down, looks at them, gets up. They go to put the dog back down. And they're saying the command repeatedly. The dog gets up. They have to go put it down. And I'm like, your dog doesn't have a downstay. No, he does. He does. I'm like, no, he doesn't. And that, like, that's an important thing. Like, your dog is literally, like, doesn't believe you. Like, that's what I really say. They really don't believe you. Like, you can stay there and get mad at them and start, like, down. No, down. They're like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm going to win. They know they're going to win the game. Eventually, she's going to relent, which is probably what happens a lot of times. They just give up and the dog can do whatever they want. But that there, like that is, that's going to bleed into your competition stuff for sure. Like that stuff needs to be addressed, right? And that stuff's not going to get, like, I tell them, that's got to get done in your pet life. Like, don't be doing it in the, you know, in your obedience life, because that's, you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to poison stuff. Get it done and fixed in your pet life.
And for a lot of dogs, it's also, it's impulse control, like a sustained downstay, right? And that, so for example, I'll take, so I have all different dogs. So Zaina. She's really independent, wants to do what she wants to do, doesn't really want to listen to anybody, quite frankly, because she doesn't need to. She has poor impulse control, very high drive, very opinionated, whatever. So I tend to be lenient-ish in my home life sometimes just because I have so much going on. But I realized with her, I could not be. Right. Because part of what she needed to learn was impulse control. Part of what she needed to learn was to respect me and take what I said as that it's meaningful, because I was having problems also in her competition. Right. Because she's like, what you tell me is optional. So in life, I had to, you know, sit at the door and wait. You can't go through the door till I say. When you go through the door, you have to sit. Now you have to go do a with me to the car, sit in the car. If I don't do that with her, everything slips. It goes off the cliff literally in the blink of an eye. And then 300%, it goes off the cliff in my competition training.
Yep.
And it's part of it is, if I am not holding her accountable, then she says, well, now you don't mean it then. And therefore, right. I don't need to listen. And so that's a relationship thing. In order for her to respect what I say, I must be 100% consistent. Now, Zeal, I can let him do whatever the fuck he wants in life, and he will still listen to me. Because that's who he is. Because he's like, now, obviously, his safety life skills have to still be in place. But I can be pretty lenient. Let him run through the door and whatever. He is that all I have to say is Zeal. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. What did I do? Help me. Help me. Right. I have a very different relationship with him because he's a very different dog. Yeah. Yes, he still has a strong with me. Yes, he still has downstays, calm and whatnot. But in general, I can be a little lenient with that because his relationship with me is different because he's a different dog.
Right. Exactly.
Jesse is more complicated in that he does care. He does respect me, But so I kind of let some things slide. But then all of a sudden I realized, oh, wait, you know, he's a little deceptive because sometimes he in certain things that matter to him, like food, mm-hmm. he will blow me off in training, which shows that there's a hole in my life skills. So I went back and revisited my life skills and was like, oh, I see there's some spots where he gives me a little pushback. Yep. Right, I better iron this out. So I realized that he does need, he does really do much better with structure like Zaina does. And with a lot of impulse control work, because that's a weakness of his, you know?
Right.
And
right.
then I realized on Friday when we were trying to demo with me to somebody, because we were training together, and you were tempting him with food, and the freaking dog left me every time. And I was like, well, guess what we need to do? So again, lifelong maintenance, right? I need to revisit that. That's what I'll be working on this week. And with food, because that's his Achilles heel, right?
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe he would have left me if you just called him, right? Like, because these things need constant maintenance, especially with, especially with certain dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why it's important. Like we say, like you really need to know your dog, learn your dog, learn them in your house, you know, because that's where you're going to see who they are. They're pushy. You know, there are dogs. They will freaking fight you tooth and nail. They will push the limits every single time. Like that's just who they are. You know, we had one this weekend, like probably a lot of people wouldn't have known it just because of the way the dog looked, but that dog ended up being a super pushy dog. And I think the handler was like surprised a little bit. And I think it was really helpful that we kind of opened that up for her so she could see that. But that needs things like that. Like that's where you really need to read your dog and know who they are in life. That's why like I'm always watching them. Like, I'm always assessing them, seeing who they are, what they do. I watch them with the dogs. They speak a lot, volumes of who they are, just interacting with the other dogs, how they interact with each other.
Yeah, I mean, like, Zest, that's a huge point. Like, how are they with each other? How are they with other dogs? How are they in the house? Like, I think people really struggle. Back to this person that you mentioned, I think there was more than one where they're thinking certain issues, again, are competition issues. And I pretty quickly discerned like, no, these are like pet dog issues and relationship issues. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard because it gets confusing, right? Like, why did the dog do this? And then people start thinking, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe. And a lot of times pet dog issue is something they don't even think of as a potential option, right? Mm-hmm. Or they're like, oh, this dog is doing this because it's this, that, or the other thing. And it's like, so yeah, it goes back to observing really objectively who they are in life and what are they doing in life and how are they acting, right? Mm-hmm. Like I told them, Zaina was like 7 or 8 weeks old. Like I have an acre fenced in. I bring her home. I put her on the ground and she's gone. She's like, oh my God, look at this yard. I love it. It's 7 weeks old. I'm like, she could have cared. Did she check in with me? No. She's like, oh my God, I'll be back in a couple hours. I'm going to go check this place out. And in that moment, I said to myself, like, okay, this is a very independent dog that's mm-hmm. very confident, that is capable of entertaining herself. Therefore, when I train her, I am going to have to present things that are so highly reinforcing to her, like insanely highly reinforcing to overcome her ability to just entertain herself. And that is absolutely the case. Right. If you have a dog that like Zeal, he goes 2 feet away from me and then immediately comes back to me. well, that's a dog that's going to be worried. I'm going to have to put a lot of confidence in this dog. You know, I'm going to have to teach this dog to be able to work away from me. Like, that's going to be hard for this dog. So that's all really important information to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because that holds true in their training. And then I had a student, I said, well, what does your dog find motivating? Nothing really. Well, what? Tell me about your dog at home. Well, what do you mean at home? Like, just in life. Like, it was so kind of interesting. It was hard for this person to even understand what I was asking, right? Because that's not what people think of. And I'm like, what does a dog like to do? Like, what does a dog find fun, right? She's like, oh, the dog likes when I kick the ball. Oh, good. So your dog likes motion. Great. Mm-hmm. So how about we take the food? I put it in my hand and I did like a lot of prey drive chasing the food in my hand. And the dog loved it. Went from being the dog's kind of like, la, 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 you know, lower drive dog.
Yeah.
From after two or three sessions of me doing the chasing thing, the dog kicked into prey drive and was a completely different dog.
Yeah, that's crazy. So,
when you just handed the dog food, it didn't even act like a lab. It was like, oh, thanks for the cookie.
Right, right.
You sent the food like that, the dog was completely different.
Right.
So how did we know? Well, what does your dog like to do in life?
Right.
Yeah. And that's real. So that's important information in terms of what does your dog find reinforcing?
Right.
What can I use in my training? Like, how can I leverage that? Like, I just did a workshop on that. Low arousal dogs, what do they find exciting? I'm like, if your dog finds the tunnel exciting, then send them through the tunnel, have them do a couple tricks, send them through the tunnel again. Dog starts to get more excited, have them do a couple of competition behaviors, send them through the tunnel. Yeah. Leverage what your dog likes, but how, you know, in life, you need to analyze and get to know your dog.
Yeah, super important. Really important. Yeah. I mean, I that's all I do. I'm just always watching how they interact.
Watching them from an objective lens, like as an observer.
Right.
Sometimes people watch their dogs with this weird skewed lens and they're actually completely misinterpreting everything they're seeing.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? They're like, oh, the dog's nervous. I'm like, nervous?
Well, this I know. Well, nervous. I also think that, I mean, I hear a lot of like, well, the dog was in a shelter for the first 2 years of its life, or the dog had, like, they kind of just have like these ideas of who their dog are based on like maybe some experiences or things the dogs had in, you know, whatever, in their previous lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then they use those that, I don't know, I don't want to say like as excuses, but they let things go, or they get like a skewed perception of who their dog really is.
They're treating the dog as if it was still that dog that they got on day one. But dogs change. Like, dogs are so resilient and so flexible. Like, just like my dogs, like, I've been in this Airbnb, I was here, like, Friday night, like, literally, come in, eat, go to bed, get up, go to the building, come back, eat, go to bed, get up at the crack of dawn, go to the building. Yesterday, I'm driving down, pulling up the driveway, Zaina's yelling, she's like, oh, we're almost home. Right? She knows it's not our home, but then this morning, they're guarding the house. They're like, okay, this is our home now.
Right.
Like, I was walking around going, God, they're so resilient. Like, they just adapt. Like, you're not like, oh, I'm so sad. Like, no, they're like, oh, we're home. Okay. Yeah. Cool. And so people will often go, like you said, like, oh, my dog used to be. Or I thought this was really cute. So somebody at the seminar is like, oh, my dog has a drop on recall problem. Dog does a perfect drop. I go, why do you think this drop was perfect? Because you told me you had a drop problem. Well, because we've been working on it really hard. I go, well, you fixed it. It's not a, you don't have a drop problem anymore. It's fixed. It's over. Now you're good. What else can we work on? Like,
I know.
People, I think people don't live in the moment.
I know. They get stuck on shit.
Yeah. Or like you said, they're like, well, my dog. No. Well, guess what? Maybe your dog was like that. But you know what? Your dog ain't like that today.
Exactly.
Right here, right now, this is not what we're dealing with. Right?
Exactly.
Or my favorite, and I get this a lot, is when they're saying like, oh yeah, my dog is this, that, or the other thing. And I watch, I'm like, all right, maybe I'm missing something, right? So I'll comment on the video. Next video, they're saying the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not seeing it. Third video, I'm like, look, no, your dog is not what you're saying it is. It's not nervous or worried or anxious or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm not seeing that at all. And here's why. Look, you're, their ears are up. They're this, they're that, the other thing. I'm like, I don't know where you're getting this information from, but this is not your dog. You know, you're right. My last dog was like that. Dude, yeah. Your last dog is not your current dog. Right? And that happens a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot. So I'm like, you need to stop putting what you think onto the dog, right? Read the actual dog in front of you in that moment in time. Yeah. What are their ears doing? What are their eyes doing? What is their breathing doing? What is their tail doing? If their ears are up and their eyes are bright and their tail is wagging, they're not stressed out.
Right. Exactly.
Or anxious or afraid or whatever.
Right.
You know? So I think it's hard. Like, I tell people, be a detective, just gather data. Like, what I do to separate myself emotionally is when I'm like frustrated or I'm not sure, I'm like, I don't know. I go, all right, you know what? Pretend this is your student's dog. This is not my dog. This is my student's. And just what would I say? Because when I look at other people's dogs, I am just looking at them objectively.
Right.
There's no emotion involved. There's no baggage from the past, from the future, nothing. I'm not judging anybody. I am literally looking at the dog and analyzing data.
Yeah. That's hard for people. It's hard. It's hard to get rid of that emotional component. Like, that's what I hear all the time. A big one is like, oh, I just feel bad for him. I'm like, what? Your dog lives a freaking like better life than I do.
Oh my God. Right? Like our dog. I'm like, I want to come back as one of my dogs.
Yeah. Right.
Because holy Hannah, do they have good lives? Right.
Really good lives. Yeah. Really good lives for sure.
Yeah. I think that. Yeah. So the key is you need to be somehow come up with a strategy to separate yourself emotionally from the situation, because that always will 100% of the time skew your decision making and never to the good. Right? Like anytime I'm emotional, I never come up with the right answer ever. Mm-hmm. Never. 0% of the time. Emotions absolutely are a hindrance.
Yeah.
Right. So separate, being able to separate your, go, okay, I'm emotional, so I should not be making any decisions. Until I can separate myself from that and objectively look at what's happening. And then that's the only time you can really analyze and come up with valuable information.
Yeah, and just thinking about like the emotions, because just thinking like, I think some people may all of a sudden be like, wow, my dog really doesn't listen to me. Like, you can't then get angry, and like, you have to teach these skills, right? Like, you're, you know, that's up to you. You're the one that got the puppy. You're the one that got the dog. Like, it's up to you to train your dog, not just for competition stuff, but also for life skills. So you can't then go like, wow, my dog really doesn't listen. My dog really doesn't recall. And then like hammer down on the dog. You know, you can't do that either. Like, make sure you stay on a moat. Like, when I have to deal with some of my pet life skills, like if there's a weakness or a hole where I'm like, oh, wow, I don't think I really taught that well enough, I'm not going to get angry about it. You know, I'm not going to get rough with my dog. I'm going to take that emotional component out. I'm very neutral when I do all that stuff. Even if I have to give a correction in pet life, I try to stay very neutral. It's hard sometimes because we get pissed and annoyed and we're rushing or whatever, but I try to stay very neutral in all that. And then if you have to teach it, then you need to teach it like you teach anything else, with patience and guidance until your dog understands it.
Yeah, because it's on us. Just like that with me the other day where Zesty's going to you because you have potato chips or whatever. I'm like, oh, I said, I need to work on that.
Yeah.
Right? Because clearly I have let that slip, or maybe he just needs a refresher, but that's on me, right? It's a hole that I need to go and address. So I'm going to go back to the basic training for that and refresh it and get it back up to where it needs to be. So yeah, we need to take responsibility for the fact that there's either a hole in our training or the training just got weak and we need to refresh it. Like, it's always, everything the dog does is just a reflection of what it's been taught to do or not taught to do and what's been maintained or not maintained. Like, that's just the reality. Like, it's a function of that. So I think home life, the observation part, super important. You get to know your dog. You should know what your dog likes and doesn't like, what excites your dog, what doesn't excite your dog. You know, who is your dog's personality? Because that's relevant in training. Life skills should be in place, first and foremost, for their safety, because that always trumps everything. And, you know, when they're competing or training, if their life skill breaks and something bad happens, you need to take, that's on you. That is 100% your fault and nobody else's fault. And that should never happen, because it's not just your dog, you're putting other dogs at risk. And that's, you know, really unacceptable. And if at some point, in your training, if you're struggling with something, asking yourself if this is a life skill issue should be on the table, right? Like, you should ask yourself, could the underlying cause be a weakness in either a life skill and or in like just a hole in our relationship, right? Where like, if I sit here and say to my dogs right now in the house, calm or down or do something, and they're not responsive, why would they be responsive when I'm training and I say, come on a recall or down? Like, a cue is a cue is a cue. So sometimes when people say like down, down, down in a competition or a, you know, competition skill training scenario, maybe that's a life skill relationship problem, because your dog doesn't respect your cues, not because the dog's a jerk, but because you're not consistent.
Right. I usually will just say, so how many times do you have to say that till he actually does it? Because you're on the fourth one. And then the person's like, oh, I'm like, yeah.
The funny thing is the awareness, right? Like, I'll say to somebody, how many times did you just tell him to sit? And they look at me like, I don't know, two. And I'm like, try five.
Right.
Oh, like, you're not even aware. And I'm like, you need to pay attention. Oh, yeah. That's my favorite because I count things all the time.
Me too.
I'm like, count. I'll count it in my head, like one, two, three, four. And I'm like, so how many times? And they're never right. They're never. They always underestimate. I'm like, oh my God, you need to work on your counting skills.
That's right. Pay attention.
Pay attention. So all right.
All right. Fun. Work life on your skills. Life skills.
God. All right. Someday I'll be back in New Jersey. Maybe.
Hopefully.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening. Bye.